Okay, welcome back. We have part two of my episode with the incredible founder of Record Club, longtime DJ, my friend Free. This part two, it's where things really come alive. And you can start here, sure, if you'd like to, that works. Or you can go back to part one because, you know, this could stand alone. Honestly, you get the gist, but you might want to go in order. Or, you know, actually, feel free to put it on shuffle, if you will, if we're talking about albums. But if you listened last week, you know that Record Club is a really special listening event that takes place in Los Angeles that my friend Free dreamed up and created. It's this immersive album listening experience that is really special, and he's so enthusiastic and inspiring. The format of this is really inspiring to me, and this part of the conversation touches on creativity, and he says some things that really hit me hard and kind of shifted the way I was thinking and approaching some projects in my life. I really hope that you come to Record Club sometime if you're in LA. I'll be there, and I hope that you follow along because he's expanding, and that's really, really exciting. And thank you to my friend Tom, because this episode would not be happening if Tom hadn't invited me to Record Club and if I hadn't gone and met Free. And then I realized in retrospect that we actually had a bunch of friends in common that you'll hear from in this episode who submitted questions for the asking for a friend portion. But I really love the deeper connection to the music and the deeper connection to each other that is created in this space that Free really had to protect and cultivate through different iterations of Record Club. And I'm so excited to see how it evolves, how he evolves, how we all do through this really special project. So thanks for being here. Here's part two of my conversation with my friend Free. Yeah, so start with, like, what was your music listening as a kid? What did your parents listen to? What were you like as a kid? You gave us a little bit, but you're in Texas.
It's ridiculous as a kid. Well, my first...
siblings?
Yeah, I have three siblings. And a lot of my early music taste was definitely, like, shaped by them. But it was also shaped by my father as well. So we grew up where, like, most... like Saturdays would be like early life growing up. Like the Saturday would be like Saturday morning is like the clean time where it's like we clean the crib. Yeah. Clean the crib and just kind of like there's music playing and you know, it's up to my dad. He's like, whatever he's listening to is what we're listening to. I don't know. It's like, I'm not going to pick a record. Like, hey, can we play this? Like, I don't know. So it's just like hella like Nigerian music, of course, cause I'm a Nigerian. My family's from Nigeria. So a lot of like Afrobeat, like early Afrobeat, but it was a whole lot of reggae. And Nigerians love reggae. And Jimmy Cliff was kind of like, you know, like how D'Angelo was kind of like my music North Star and, you know, folks like that. That's Jimmy Cliff for my dad, Jimmy Cliff and Bob Marley for my dad. So like kind of experiencing him like nerd out so much as a kid was kind of like, it's like, oh, this is what you do when you love an artist, you just go deep into the rabbit hole. Like you live in the rabbit hole. Like I remember one time, like later years, like finding like, when this website CD Now existed, like seeing like a long detailed album review from this guy about this, I think it was a Jimmy Cliff album. And then I saw that it was my dad who had left that review.
That's so funny.
So like it's, it's definitely like, you know, I didn't create this. This is definitely like passed down from like from my dad. And then my mom. So my dad was into reggae and Afrobeat, just stuff like that. And also like early ska, like Desmond Dekker, stuff like that. And my mom was actually into like country music a lot.
Wow.
Like she was into like Dolly Parton, Don Williams, Kenny Rogers. Like, so I was getting like a really interesting eclectic mix of stuff coming up. And then we had the radio and the radio, I think that's where my siblings step in because, you know, the radio was kind of up to them. And, you know, my brother would always be the one recording, you know, I feel like from like 96, 97 on, where my brother's like recording every single, like, oh, this is the, when this DJ comes on, so we're going to record this part. This is like when Skip Cheatham comes on, we're going to record this. So what he was obsessed with was like, that became what I was obsessed with, my oldest brother, Jeff. And then like, I don't know if you remember like that little catalog where you could like order a bunch of CDs or whatever. Do you remember that? It was like, it's like National Public House or something. I forget what it was called.
I've heard about this, but I never did it.
Oh, you didn't do it? So we did it maybe a few times, but I remember the first time we did it, like my brothers kind of had like the big say in it. And I remember us getting like some No Limit stuff. I remember us getting like No Way Out from P. Diddy. I don't know if we could talk about him right now. I feel like we got some Aaliyah too. It was just like a bunch of random kind of like contemporary stuff. Usher, My Way was one of them that we got too. And it was like contemporary stuff that was kind of like, oh, this is interesting. And I think that's when I realized that, oh, R&B is actually kind of like, and just like really strong melodies that are sung or played or whatever, just kind of became like, oh, this is what I love about this. It's like when a singer really just kind of like delivers this really cool, colorful melody, that's like what's kind of bringing me in. So I really loved just anything from a singer at a young age, because like, you know, I was getting country from my mom, I was getting reggae from my dad, and I'm getting like R&B from siblings. So I'm like, okay, this is my taste right here. Just like really cool, melodic, just beautifully written stuff. And I didn't have the language for that at that time, but there was like a common thread of that. And I think when I first started to kind of decide like, okay, what's the music? What's my music? Was Napster era. That's when, through that time, that's when I found Like Water for Chocolate by Common. And I think I actually ended up like getting a copy from my cousins. And then I found Voodoo through that time. I don't listen to this now, but at the time, like, we were really big on like Eminem radio freestyles. So we would just download every single one we could find. Then battle rap kind of became like a thing too. But the first CD that I bought, I think I'm trailing off, but the first CD that I bought with my own money, I think it was In Search Of from NERD. And actually, pardon me, I did not buy that. I stole that from my friend Jacob. I stole it from him, and I had it for a long time. But the lie I told people was like, that's the first one I bought with my own money. Yeah. It's not, I stole it with my own hand. I can't remember which one I really bought, the first one I bought, but I think it was probably, it might've been like maybe Godson by Nas or, yeah, I think it was probably Godson. It was one of the first ones that I bought. And there was a second question. Did I miss the second question that she asked?
No, that was what, you know, what I wanted to know, what you were listening to as a child from your parents, and then also like when you made that choice. And I thought that was a cool distinction that Christine made of like when she came back and said, yeah, that my question's like actually different because she told me that that was a question she used to ask on dates. And I think it's, and she
great
was like,
question for a date.
Yeah. Cause it indicates.
Thank you, Christine. That's a very fun question, by the way.
CD specific though, cause it says a lot about their age and maturity.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I was never not buying vinyl at my age. So yeah, it was definitely like, oh, I just remembered. It was the Eminem show.
Oh, wow.
It was the Eminem show. And you know, I'm not the hugest Eminem fan anymore, but at the time I was. And that was like the first time having money to even spend on albums. And I remember the Eminem show, Godson by Nas. And I feel like there was one more that I missed. I don't know if it was me or my sister that got Aaliyah's last album, but that was also in the mix. But I wasn't like I wasn't deep yet as far as like going down the, oh, like, oh, there's this artist, that artist, that artist. Like I just really knew like what the radio gave me and what my friends or cousins would tell me about. I think once burning CDs became a thing, that's when I really started to find my taste.
Yes.
Yeah, because then it's just like, okay, if you can make one CD that you'll listen to, you're going to listen to this for the next few months.
Right.
You got 12 to 15 songs, or maybe sometimes 18 if you have like a big 20, enough disc.
Yeah.
If like, it's very important. This is like, what songs would you pick?
Yeah.
So then it puts you into the space of like, what do I like? What, okay, oh, I remember that song. Oh, okay. Oh, this. And then you get to a place where if you keep making burning CDs, then you kind of get into a place of like, okay, I just want to burn this and see what it sounds like. I don't even know the song that well, but I feel like I might like this. Let me just put this on there. So yeah, just like early like selection of just like, okay, if you have 20 songs or 18 songs, what are you going to pick? And this is the time you spend figuring that out. I would spend so much time like making a list, scratching stuff out, adding stuff in. And I realized pretty early that gave me a whole lot of pleasure.
Yeah.
It was just like making those. And that's when I started like to discover my favorite artists. That's when I realized, oh, I really love D'Angelo a whole lot. And that's another person I got made fun of for as a kid for listening to D'Angelo, because all people could ever think about when they thought about D'Angelo was the video. So I'm telling my homies, male homies usually, I'm like, oh, D'Angelo's incredible. Like, have you heard that? How does it feel? So, like, untitled songs? Like, bro, why are you listening? What's wrong with you? What are you listening to that for? And that's early on, just kind of realizing like, oh God, I can't even share what I love. The Light by Common was one of my favorite songs. And I found that through like watching this local music video channel called Flavor TV. So every Saturday they would do like a music video block of like 2-3 hours of just like the latest and greatest stuff that they think they should share videos, video wise. And I remember seeing this video from Common with Erykah Badu in it called The Light. And that's when I really found what I liked. Cause I heard that, I was like, I didn't know what it was about the song, but I knew that like, that's when I started getting into the feeling of music.
Yeah.
I was like, that song, I go to a place when I hear it. Like I feel something when the song comes on. And that was like, especially like being a kid when, you know, kids are like, oh yeah, we're tough, masculine, tough. Anything that's like any sensitive kind of music, if you're listening to any of that, you're getting clowned pretty much. So you really have to kind of make a choice of like, am I willing to get humiliated for liking this music? Sure.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think but the cool thing about that is like when you have your things, like you have something that is kind of yours, that's when you really get to kind of build out your little world, if you like your taste.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like do I like this enough that like if my friends make fun of me for it, I'm gonna continue.
Yeah.
If people don't understand it, I'm still gonna continue. I think that's a good indication of like, okay, this is yours. Mm-hmm. So like take that, and through that, you'll find the rest of your little world of taste through just like committing to like, okay, this is my stuff. This is for me. And that just sent me down so many rabbit holes. I read so many books. Like, I remember literally like going to the Grand Prairie Library and renting a book because Vibe magazine had made like a book about rap music and the history of hip hop. And I was like, okay, I wasn't raised with this music technically, but I want to be immersed in this world.
Yeah.
I want it to be to where it's like, you know, and mind you, I'm like 13, 14, 15 years old. And I'm thinking about like, you know, people, guys who are like 34 years old. And I'm just like, I want to be on their level of like knowledge of this world and of music and et cetera. So, which was ridiculous, but it just sent me down the rabbit hole, just reading, listening, just like wanting to get up to speed on everything that I missed growing up. And yeah, but I think that moment of like finding that song and like all the songs to follow was like me like, oh, okay, now I know like when I feel like this, that's a good indication that this is for me. So it just got back into, when I first remember feeling that was like, I feel like I heard this song as a kid called Susie You Are by Maxi Priest. And I remember like, it made me like emotional. I'm like, why am I like getting, is this, are these tears? When I would hear that song. But I knew that like, even though it's a pretty ridiculous reaction for a kid to have to a song, I knew that like what makes me go is music that really like kind of like is a full body experience of like, whoa, like I'm like being pulled into this thing. Like this is like, I literally can't help but feel it. And that was like, I guess that was like my body's way of telling me like, yo, this is you right here. Like this is for you. So I'm just letting you know. So yeah, I think that's kind of where taste starts, is like finding the things that make you feel like that and chasing that feeling as much as you can. And I think through that, that's kind of how you become yourself. Is like you allow your body to tell you what you love. You're not following a trend or following a, you're like, okay, let me just throw stuff out and just listen to stuff and look at stuff, watch stuff, read stuff, and just like allow myself to just like decide, like allow my body to decide like what is resonating. Because I think when you get too like heady about it, you could kind of just like, and listen, sometimes you just do decide like, okay, this is cool. I think this is cool. And sometimes it may not be a full body decision, but I think the only way to really discover what direction to move in is like to allow yourself to like have a moment where it's like, oh, I can't stop thinking about this. Damn, when I first heard that, like, oh, this is like, oh, I think there's something over here. So yeah, I think that's kind of like early days of like building my taste, was just kind of like allowing myself to kind of come off weird or dorky or whatever it was, but knowing that like, yeah, I'm trying to discover like the things that I like, because I don't know what that is yet. And I really, really, really want to know. I have to know. And yeah, next thing you know, it's like I'm 14, 15 years old and I'm like making my own music, because I'm just like so deep into that world of obsession that I'm just like, I gotta make this. I have to make this now. Like, I feel like this is my world. And there's no other way to exist in this world but to participate. So I started writing terrible raps, making terrible beats. And, but that was like, okay, now I know what I like to listen to. What do I like to make? What's my identity creatively? What is that? And just like truly throwing paint on the wall, just like trying to emulate every producer I could, just doing terrible versions of stuff that I'd heard. And, finally kind of like landing somewhere in like in between an accident and a creative choice and being like, oh, that's something. Oh, okay. And then next thing you know, it's just like, honestly, like that happens. And then, you know, the next 20 something years of my life is just like that, like following that, chasing that, trying to experience that, and like doing different versions of that, like making music, DJing music, producing music, writing songs. Like, I've done any kind of music job I could do because of that early choice. Well, not even early choice, but that early like moment of being compelled to it. Like, oh, this is like, I'm feeling this. This must be my world right here. And then just like chasing that, and like, you know, eventually somehow, some way I get to do it professionally, of like literally just be a fan professionally, is kind of like the space I exist in now. So yeah.
Wow.
I hope that was it.
No, that was incredible. I mean, and same, I feel I relate to that a little bit. And with getting to do this podcast, nothing feels better than when I'm able to spend time with someone's work and reach out. It gives me access to, I'm a fan of yours, and the fact that I'm talking to you right now is because I have this podcast, and that's not lost.
Right. Yeah. 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 It's a vehicle for you to kind of like get to
access,
go deep and access things that you would have had to access. I love that word, access. That's a, yeah.
Yeah.
In this context.
Someone said that on this podcast to me, where she was like, people think they want fame, but they actually often want access.
Yes. And 1000%.
Yeah, and I related to that, but I think in terms of taste, it's so interested people are interesting, you know, and hearing you go on that whole, like taking us through how you developed your taste is fascinating, you know, obviously to hear about from the perspective of you and how it led to what you're doing. But it also makes me start to think about how did I develop taste early on? And I often feel, and Christine's question, as soon as she sent me that to ask you, I was like, oh, what's, I sent it to her. I was like, I want to know your answer.
Yeah,
and then I thought, I tried to think of mine.
Yours, yeah.
And I was struggling because I often felt when I was a kid, I don't have siblings. And I always felt like that meant I didn't know what was cool. Like it felt like it's not true necessarily, but at that time I was always like, oh, the people who have an older sister or brother, like they right. know what's cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I didn't have that. And my mom loves pop music, like whatever, even still to this day, like whatever's the pop yeah. station, like commercials and all, like she's just like in. And we would get CDs, like if we heard someone on the Today Show, like
that's cool though. That like that's to me that I think that's still really cool. Like, because I feel like whether it's like the highest of highbrow or the lowest of lowbrow or just like something that is considered like massively consumed, I feel like if it moves you and if you're like you see the Today Show and you're like this performance is so good or this interview is so good, I want to kind of invest in this artist. I feel like that's what it is. You're still discovering taste. It's just like you're just discovering with the rest of America also.
Sure. And that makes me feel very like that validates that a little bit. But I think there's also like that's all the pool is smaller then.
You right, know what I mean? Right. Because like, you want something that feels like just yours too.
Yeah. And like we would get these albums and my mom is like, it's so sweet, but we would just listen to like the one song, like the hit, you know? She loves a repeat. Like wow. She loves to just repeat the song over and over and over again.
You know, my sister used to do that a lot too.
And I have, that's within me. Like I will like I definitely
pick that up from her. I pick that up from her for sure. I do the same thing.
Like I definitely do that. And even like I found myself with that Amy Winehouse record. There was one song where my body led me where I was just like this one.
Which one was it?
You want to try to guess? Let's see.
Is it Love's a Losing Game? I hope it's not Rehab.
No, it's not Rehab. But I hadn't really like, I had definitely not listened to that album all the way through.
Yeah.
And let's see, what was it?
Feel free to play it.
Well, what's interesting is that like, okay, even though, so I feel like I'm still very much developing my taste.
Yeah.
And I mean, as we all are.
For sure. It's a constant. Like that never stops.
And our influences and our like, you know, becoming the people we are and whatever. And I remember asking Christine about this, like when she did the podcast once of, it was none of the songs that you said, I'll tell you. But when Christine did the podcast, I was asking like, where do you get inspired? And she was like, from my friends. And she is someone who inspires me so much. And I really feel the same. Like, I feel like I'm having the teenagehood that I didn't really have in my teen years because I envy those people who are like in their bedroom on the internet, like feeling their feelings. Like I kind of was, I didn't have siblings. My mom really, she was either like working a lot or like focused on me and like single mom, just like kind of kept me tied up and like,
for sure.
Listened to, like, there wasn't really that. So I sometimes can feel really behind in this.
So you don't feel like you really got the space to kind of just like explore.
I didn't at all. Yeah. And until mix CDs, until people friends were making me CDs
and I
had some autonomy to be like, this is, oh my God, this track four and I can still hear it.
Yeah.
But I can see myself even now as a grown up, like I often call it, there's that line in even right now, I'm like afraid to say this because I'm like, this is so uncool, but.
No, you got to say it.
But in the Taylor Swift song, when she says, the indie record, that's much cooler than mine, you know?
Like, wait, what's the line?
Indie record, much cooler than mine. Where it's like, that's how I've always felt that way. Like when I'm, you know, in a relationship with someone or a friend with someone where it's like, I don't want to say I like this thing because it's not.
Yeah. Because it's like, whatever. It's like, pop or it's like big or blah, blah, blah. I've never given into that. Because listen, someone I died on the hill for pretty early was John Mayer.
Right, which is so, and oddly, like that's where I was going with this, oddly, because that's what I told you this already, but that was my first time. There, him and one other person who I am kind of embarrassed to say, but my cousins who were older than me, I was like, oh, this, like, well, I'll tell you more about what happened and like how, what I like, but
yeah,
but that just same, but go yeah. on, sorry.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like, first off, you know, growing up, you know, young black kid, you're just like, hey, this white guy with the guitar, I'm into that. That's all. Right. It's like, what, bro, what are you on? But I think, you know, not allowing that to like sway me from like knowing that, okay, this is one of the great artists, at least to me, of this time. I'm not gonna turn away from that. And then, you know, eventually like people start to catch, oh, they're like, oh, okay, I see what you meant. Some people don't. But I think just something like that, it's like, you know what you like. Like, you know what you know what you like deep down, even if you're embarrassed to admit it, it's like, you know what you like. And I think when it no longer becomes like something you're afraid to share and something you have to share or you can't wait to share, that's when you kind of take an ownership over like, this is who I am. So if you're not into this, maybe we just disagree there, or maybe you're not one of my people. Like, I don't know, but like, what you like is what you like, and that's all there is. Like, there's no other, you know, there's no other way to experience, like, especially something like art that's supposed to feed you.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to make you feel good and make you like kind of get into yourself. It's like, there's no way I'm gonna like, that's not a group decision.
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah, yeah.
That's like, a homies may put me onto things, but I still gotta decide if it's for me or not. And personal taste, never a group decision. I like what I like, I love what I love. And you can feel how you want to feel, but this is for me. So my little world is my little world. Kiss my ass.
Right. Okay. So here's what happened next. Like, I think that, so exactly what you're saying, like, obviously that's the goal. That is being the kid that got made fun of and being not invited to
that's not the goal,
parties
but
whatever. Like, which, you know, we all have our version of our, like,
for sure,
trauma,
for sure, just
whatever.
Little, because kids are like, terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
they're also great, but they're terrible. Too.
Exactly. But
middle schoolers, you know, the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst.
But like, I think one has this, or okay, let me speak from the eye.
please.
I see myself even now, and this is how it comes up now, which there are some playlists on my Spotify that I hide. That I have hidden. I don't even like. I'm not a DJ. Like, I don't even have. Like, I don't even know who follows me on there. But like, why do I do that? Mm-hmm. That's weird. Mm-hmm. And that's that little kid in me. That's like, I don't want someone to see what I, you know, or whatever. I know songs that seem cool. I know songs that are just for me. And like, I'm okay with it now.
Right.
But just, it's so deeply ingrained in me that. It's just interesting. Like, it takes a level of confidence and a level of, exactly like you said, to be like, fuck it, I'm into this. I don't give a shit who, no. Like, I felt that way about listening to this Olivia Rodrigo album. I'm like, I am a 30-something-year-old person. Is it strange that I'm so into some of these songs?
Yeah.
Maybe, but like, if that's
and wrong, that's and that's okay.
Right.
And because I think personally, just like, you know, it's like you yourself, you're like your home. It's like, people are going to tell you how to what furniture to get, what blah, blah, blah. But it's like, you got to live in that place, not them. So it's just like, this, I got to live in this body. So it's just like, I can't be spending my days like listening to what I think I'm supposed to listen to and hiding what I love. It's like, I have to like fully embrace all of it. And like, that's, I don't know. There's just, for me, there's just no other way to be. But at the same time, I do understand that, because most of my life, literally, even recent times, sometimes I'm getting told like, bro, what? This is that's whack. That's trash. Why are you listening to that? And it's at the place now where it's just like, I truly do not care. I could care less. And I think the thing is that like, me with the taste that I grew up having, and even dying on the John Mary Hill and the, you know, Justin Timberlake and all that shit, like the fact that somehow, some way, that kid who was getting made fun of for his music taste is now a DJ and is now like doing this thing, the record club, it's just like, it's really just like a testament to just like what you like is what you like, and you have to just be completely committed to being okay with that, and like, and to love that, really, like to the point where it's like, yo, this is a playlist I would like to hide. I'm finna share this shit. Yeah, I'm gonna send it to his mom.
Yeah,
like,
I'll do it today.
You should, like, because I think it's like, I think there's nothing cooler than like planting your flag, whatever it is, like planting that flag. Like, this is me. Like, this is what I'm into. You're not into it. You don't have. That's cool. You don't have to be. I'm not asking you to be into it. I'm just letting you know. I'm just like openly declaring, like, this is my shit. This is what I like. This is what I love. This is what I'm into. This is me. So.
Exactly. And nothing is more attractive than seeing someone in their authentic self.
Yeah, because you're in your body. You're just kind of in, like, that you walk with a different confidence through the world, where you know that, like, you know, no matter what, you can't be swayed as far as like, no, this is what I like this. Mm-hmm. No, this is who I am. No, this is what I do. No, this is what I want to read. This is who I look up to. This is who I want to love. This is like there's a different level of like confidence that you walk with and walk through the world with when you you have at least somewhat of an idea of who's down there, like what's going on in there, like who is it, like, and I think that is like, for me, like owning that and not running from that, and to the point where like, you know, I can speak up for myself as far as like when someone's like, when I get challenged of like, why do you like that? And I'll literally break it down to the point where once I'm done explaining it to the person, they're like, oh, mm-hmm. Damn, maybe I should, you know? And so I feel like nobody can tell you about you, but you. And I think the confidence that you get to wear when you like, you internalize that and you digest that and you accept that you're just you're who you are, like you're you. It's like, oh, that's that person, like, not like, oh, she likes pop music, oh, she likes this, oh, she likes Olivia Rodrigo, okay, cool, like I know what she likes.
Yeah.
Versus like someone who's like hiding what they like, of just like, I don't know what they like. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but I think that like just openly being okay with just like, this is me, and say what you want, but it's who I am. There's just something really special about that. And you kind of get to like really own yourself a bit more. And like, I don't know, it's just like the relationship with the self is important. And I think when you don't betray yourself and lie to yourself or become a character, I don't know, I feel like your body hugs you back in a way. That sounds like some goofy spiritual shit, but yeah.
Okay, interrupting this episode with Free to tell you about another episode with my friend Jezebel. You might remember Jezebel from an episode about a year ago at this time. I called the episode Sorry for the Late Reply, and we spoke about the emotional and mental toll our email inboxes can have on us. Unread emails mixed in with a mountain of junk mail can feel so overwhelming, and it can feel really precious about trying to reply to everything or even avoiding our inboxes entirely because the thought of opening it up to just see what's in there is too overwhelming. I deeply relate. This is where Jezebel comes in. She helps us turn chaotic, overwhelming inboxes into playful, anxiety-free spaces that we actually want to spend time in. She's transformed the inboxes of so many people, including guests of this podcast like Carolyn Palmer, and me, actually. Jezebel has now put all of this knowledge into a step-by-step inbox class that takes you through bite-sized modules so you won't get overwhelmed by the process, and you'll learn how to declutter and organize and automate your inbox. But what I loved most about my experience working with Jezebel on this is her focus on visual cues like colors and symbols to add creativity back into your inbox space. You should really see what she's able to make her inbox look like. I really never knew it was possible for Gmail to look this way, but It can. In our podcast episode, we talked about one of the main reasons why inboxes are so overwhelming is because platforms like Gmail set you up with all these default settings that you don't actually even need. One of the modules in our class is on tweaking these default settings. It takes about 10 minutes and you'll get rid of 50% of unnecessary visual clutter. And I swear that alone will change your entire inbox experience. You can actually grab this module for free by going to the link in the show notes and scrolling down to the inbox class page. And if you like that free module and you want to grab the class, which I have a feeling you might want to do, you can use the code LETITOUT to get 20% off. If your inbox is triggering anxiety like mine often was and sometimes is, trust me, the thing that will help is organizing it with Jezebel's class and letting it completely help you. So give it a go. Links in the show notes. Now back to my episode with Free. No, that's beautiful. And I think what you're also saying is like, I think the reason why all of what you just said is true is because it allows connection, basically. Totally. Because if I am playing, I'm then playing a character that I have to then like keep up and uphold, and you're never gonna get to see me.
Right.
And I'm never gonna feel understood by you because you're gonna see this like the playlist I feel comfortable sharing and me trying to be cool. You're gonna only see that, and we're not gonna, that puts a big barrier between you and me.
Totally.
But if I just own it and this is what I like and lean into that, and I think that's something I'm still, and this goes beyond music and movies and taste in that capacity.
It goes
into how we dress. This,
totally.
If we really want to get down to it, like this is like diet culture and the way that we eat and the way that our bodies are of like trying to uphold a standard of beauty or trying to like developing a taste. Of course, we have our influences outside of our parents and families that like come in as we get older. And then we, you know, it snowballs and we pick all this stuff up like Velcro. But having that through line and feeling comfortable committing to it, I just think this is such a fascinating conversation of like when I've had people over, there are a few playlists I'll put on or there are a few albums I'll put on that I wouldn't put on other stuff that feels just for me. And that's okay, I think. Mm-hmm. But also like you've made a whole identity around, fuck it, I'm so into this and I'm going to tell you why. Like I'm a pretty bad debater and don't really want to do that necessarily.
I don't want to do that either.
Right. Yeah. Nor should we have to.
I like to explain my perspective. I think that's kind of what, that's where I'm good in like giving perspective or sharing perspective. Like, and when it comes to debating, that's when I get like, I don't know if I'm equipped, but I feel like.
Well, this is your field
being able
too.
To articulate, being able to articulate why you enjoy something and why it's like, it's something that should be enjoyed. I think it's like, you know, that's how you really get to like, I don't know. It's like you know yourself so much better when you kind of, it's like you kind of watch yourself like, oh yeah, I really do like this. Like I'm over here just kind of like getting emotional explaining this to somebody. And I feel like that bleeds into all parts of life. Just
100%.
Being able to advocate for yourself, being able to like speak up for yourself, being able to like articulate how you're feeling about certain things. And listen, I'm not saying I've mastered all these, but I feel like making that first step of like being able to commit to like, this is what I'm into.
Right.
This is what makes me. Being able to commit to like to the point where you would show it to people and let people see it. I think that's like step one to like understanding yourself better so you can just kind of articulate your perspective a whole lot better and, you know, advocate for yourself and, you know, all the things that come along with that.
Well, when I was saying it's connection, it's intimacy, right? Like I believe we all want to be seen and recognized as who we really are. Mm-hmm. But that's scary because if we're seen and recognized for who we really are and we're rejected, that's painful. But if we're rejected for some version of ourselves that we're holding up, that's like not as painful, but also it doesn't feel as good to be as it does to feel, I have to finish that thought before I can say another one, but I'm having like two at the same time.
No, I hear you.
But you know what I mean? It feels really good to, when I tell you something genuine about myself and you see me for that and like me, like that's going to feel so much better than a version of myself.
Yeah, me being, trying to be this too cool version of myself. Then you're like, oh yeah, I do like you. And then you're like, damn, now I got to keep this shit
exactly.
up.
And you can't. And I think the thing about, you know, this goes way out, like you, to your point, it goes way outside of just music and art that we like. But, you know, like for instance, and we won't even have time for this, but I wrote in my notes, geek out, like I just wrote, we both love Mike Mills. Like,
love and, Mike Mills. You know, yes. Like, oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
nothing
yeah, yeah.
feels better. Like I shared that. And then I know that you feel the same. Like now we, and that's what right. Record Club does. It, so many things do that, which is so wonderful. And I think to define that for ourselves. And I guess I just think of my mom, like she had a smaller sample size, but I don't know. I guess she had her, she loves Diana Ross. She saw Diana Ross when I, when amazing. She was pregnant with me and
whoa.
Yeah. And her, she saw that's Dreamgirls cool. on Broadway. My uncle took her when she was a kid. So amazing. She has like a few of these, yeah. these touchstones that like she like passed on to me.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but what was really interesting that happened, like I take after my dad in a lot of ways that I didn't realize until I was older because I didn't grow up with him. And, but there were like kind of these like relics of him around, like, oh, that was your father's CD or something. Yeah. And I would be like, I'm really into, like, it was so interesting. And my cousins, as I mentioned, were 10 years older than me, but when I was trying to think about what I was into in high school, a weird thing happened. I graduated in 2008 from high school, right? So
okay, 2 years after me.
Okay,
I was six. Yeah.
Okay, so we are
pretty close.
Yeah, so you would have been a junior when I was a freshman. Mm-hmm. A cooler, older junior.
older junior, but not cooler.
Well, when you're, I mean, I've well, finished yeah. my thought, so we're about to. So I would come home and, you know, I don't think we even had a computer. I don't remember, but, or maybe we must have had some sort of computer, but like I didn't. This is just like a kind of neither here nor there, but we'll tell you how uncool I was. I was really, really bad at typing. And so remember AIM?
Yeah.
It was like how we, yeah. My mom would have to come on AIM and like I would dictate and she would type for me.
Oh.
And I would be like, okay, say this to this person. And I had to like keep it all pretty
wow.
like mom. But I was so stressed out.
Okay, like, mom, A-S?
Yeah.
Dash L? Question mark?
It was so it was so wild because I'd be like, oh God, this person I have a crush on, but like, oh God, like it was so wow. it was horrible.
Well, you had your mom as like a crush translator.
Kind of,
that.
But it was also like she kept it tight. I was in a real like helicopter situation where I wasn't like allowed. So these are some of these things where I felt like I was really confined.
Hover type vibes.
Yeah, which is like she was either like not around at all because she was working, but then when she was she like, would like overcompensate, yeah. Yeah, you know
I'm
what like, I mean?
I'm right up here. We're right up in
uh-huh.
here.
Yeah. And you're not going to hear from me for days, but then I'm going to be right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so
I guess maybe that was her way of kind of like playing catch up in a way, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is a whole thing for.
I don't want to try to speak.
Oh, there's been a lot of that. But yes, you could be a therapist of this because that translates.
Welcome to my office.
Though. Right. I'll pay you. I'll Venmo you for the session on the way out. But the thing I would do, and I realized that like I love. And you can tell me what my taste is because I don't even know how to articulate this, but exactly what you said, your body knows. And this is how my body knows because what I would do when I would come, I would have these hours at home alone mm-hmm. after school. And I would get onto that. We had a TV, like a very thick depth-wise TV that
love
had
those.
This like-
the 3D TVs.
Yeah, it had this- it's not satellite, right? Like, remember the radio station? You go up to those higher channels and they were like 90s station and yeah, 80s. Yeah. I don't mm-hmm. know what it was, but
FM
I just.
Radio?
No, it was like on the TV. Like,
oh,
it would,
you mean like, so
it wasn't when like when MTV.
You go, when you're like flipping those channels and you stop on one's like country music channel and it's just like a black screen.
Exactly. Like, and there was like a blue stripe around the, yep, on the bottom.
Yep, yep.
I don't even know what that's called.
No, yeah. honestly, like there was a point in time when those were kind of like crucial, like early 2000s. I feel like those were kind of crucial at one point. I feel like I found a lot of records through that. Like,
okay,
because I'd be in my cousin, because we didn't always have like the cable, so
right.
I'd go to my cousin's crib, and then sometimes they would like, I mean, they would always have the cable, so there would be sometimes where they like would flip to like a hip hop station or an R&B station, and that would kind of be like radio for a little bit. And then, you know, it just kind of brings me back, like, to TV was radio for a portion of my life too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that there's a gap I didn't really even touch on, but like there's a gap between like, you know, finding, you know, Napster and blah, blah, blah. MTV was that in between.
Right.
MTV was like radio for
the last era of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like early 2000s, early aughts, whatever, MTV was like truly like such a foundational thing for taste, because like it had a little bit of every, like it was a lot of rock music.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hip hop music, a lot of R&B music, a lot of pop music. So you could really, so you had like, you know, it's like someone giving you a menu.
Uh-huh. And VH1 like, oh, too.
Yeah.
And we would put it on in the mornings when they would play.
Yes.
Yeah.
The video block. Yeah.
Yep.
Literally me every morning, I'm waking
TRL.
Up.
TRL.
I'm waking up to like the TRL rerun.
Yep.
But usually before the TRL rerun is like the music video block, which is like from like 4 or 5 a.m.
Yep.
Until like 7 a.m. or something like that. So 7 a.m. was normally when the TRL rerun would come on. Sometimes I'd stay late enough to catch a little bit of it.
Uh-huh.
But that was like early, like, and listen, TRL was normally playing the bullshit, but every now and then they would kind of play some meat. But it was the video block where you would be like, whoa, what is this? That's how I discovered NERD. That's how I discovered the first Justin Timberlake single. That's how I discovered like the clips. That's how I discovered, honestly, that's how I discovered D'Angelo, was through like music videos, even though it wasn't MTV for D'Angelo, but like music videos. And that's a big part of why I even wanted to cover music videos later on. I mean, a few years ago, was because of like early like young years, like music videos were how you found out what was cool musically. Also how you found out what was cool with clothes or whatever. So it was kind of like a meal of like culture and of like taste of like, oh, I like this music. I like those jeans. That's a cool hairstyle. Those shoes are cool. Like, it's so much information that you get from it that's kind of like, oh, I'm feeling myself responding to this. So this must be what I'm into. Okay, what else? Oh, I'm into that too. So I really give a lot of credit to, and that's kind of, unfortunately, I think a thing that maybe is missing is just like, I don't know, like, curated like places that are just like, okay, here's what we think is cool, and from this maybe you'll find something that you think is cool. I think the ways that taste and things are presented to us now are just, it's very cold, and like we don't get a chance to really like have full experiences with them, because we're normally kind of getting them in passing, or we're getting them on our phones, which is like, it's already a reduced version of the thing.
Right. And that, like, Christine's question is going to be obsolete for Gen Z, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh man, yeah.
The first
CD you bought with your own money.
Yeah. It would just be like, what was the first?
I bought a
song.
Spotify subscription.
Yeah,
idiot.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's really that's a bummer.
And I will say that, like, listen, I think Spotify was also a really special thing for us to discover our taste through. But I think now, because there's an algorithm, it's not a human telling you like, this is cool. So then the relationship is already kind of cold, you know. It's like, and listen, I love how I'm able to find different music and things like that. But nothing beats like just putting on a DJ mix and, oh, I like this song, or going out to a club or going out to a party, like, oh, this song is cool. It's like discovering music in more physical ways, like that are more tapped into like how do you feel about it versus like looking at it on a sheet of paper on your phone, or like. It's like you're looking at it. What are you even looking at? It's like you should be listening to it, you know, feeling it, experiencing it. And I think, you know, the digital age has kind of like made the relationship a whole lot colder. But I do think that there's, you know, and that's a part of why I do what I do, is to like regenerate that relationship to music that's in a more honest way. And it's not just like you're not looking at a thing. You're not like, you're just kind of sitting there and just like letting it come to you versus like flipping through a playlist of 1,000 songs, like, which one do I want to hear today? It's like, that's already bad, because it's like you're too in your head about, do I want to listen? You could just press play.
Totally.
You know?
So I mean, I think what was, so the reason I brought up the TV thing, like I would turn on the 90s station yes. for some reason. And
which is, we love 90s.
We love, but was it was, it had just happened, you know, back yeah. then kind of. Yeah. And I don't know why, like it, my mom wasn't into that, like, and something felt cool and nostalgic because I would hear some yes. of these songs that I heard as a like child, I yeah. guess, of like, I had memories of hearing Alanis Morissette in the car. Like, I think mm-hmm. I remember being a kid and being like, yeah. And I just remember loving that and yeah. almost being embarrassed when I was like, cause it was just a memory. It was like, what is that?
Yes.
I like that. Cause you stuff you know and have heard, you like more once you've heard it, you know? Yes. And then I could know what it was and like get more of it. And that was such a, what I realized, it's like, oh, I, to your point, to what we were talking about before about intimacy, like I always say this about being made fun of. Like when someone I love makes fun of me, it's nothing feels better, you know, yeah. because it really, you're being seen for sure. something that you love.
Listen, if someone knows you well enough to make an accurate joke about right. you, that makes you laugh and makes you kind of like, That's a really, really, really close friend.
Exactly.
And every now and then when I'll catch a friend like maybe mimic me or imitate me and it's kind of like accurate, I'm like, damn, you really know me. Like,
yes.
That's like the coolest thing in the world. Cause there's different jokes. There's like some jokes that just feel mean and like,
right.
you know, not positive, not good. It's just like, but some jokes are just kind of like, they make you feel seen because you know that there's no way you can make this joke and actually make me laugh at myself without yep. knowing me really well. So I'm totally with you.
100%. And I think then you start to see the through, like at my body's the judge of like, ooh, what is this? I love this song. Mm-hmm. The first time I heard it, and then other songs, I don't feel that way, but I hear them more and I start to like them more. Like the Amy Winehouse song, I'm sure there are other songs on that album that I would like more, but that one just hit in mm-hmm. the first thing. Then I wanted to put it on a playlist and the algorithm, I used to always say that about Spotify, like my Discover Weekly or whatever, when I would listen to it and I would like walk around in New York, be so excited for Mondays or whatever day it came out. And I was like, no one knows me as well as my algorithm on Spotify. But that doesn't feel like when a friend would make me a mix CD
in
high school.
And you get a song that you wouldn't have found any other way.
Right.
You discover something that you wouldn't have discovered any other way through that.
Like, right. And Discover Weekly, like when it first came out, it did feel like that because we didn't have that before. Right. And then we did. And like that was cool. Mm-hmm. But then like Captain actually, like he loves Yodla Tango. It's his favorite band. I went with him to see last year. Like, and he made me their catalog is so huge.
So he kind of like condensed it down to you for like,
he made me a CD and yeah. I have this shitty Prius and the radio, like the thing I can only listen to, like I only listen to that CD in that car.
That's the best. You can only listen to CDs. That's so cool.
Yeah. And it's only Yodla Tango because it's the only one I have. So
yeah, no. And listen, like you remember that era? Like there's something to that of just like, cause I remember, you know, when I had the red Honda Civic when I was like in high school and like, even like when I had the Camry and just like, literally, like, whatever CDs you have in that car, that's your playlist for the month.
Kind of nice.
Year.
Yeah.
Could be, and that's what you got. And it's just like, you learn to love that music so much.
Right.
And there's something to that versus like, you know, a new playlist every other day. And listen, I'm the king of making playlists. I overdo it. And I'm also a DJ, so I kind of have to. But like, man, just having like something that you can just live with for a while. That's like, there's no greater relationship as far as like with entertainment stuff goes. There's no greater relationship that you can have than just like, okay, you got this one album for these next few weeks.
Live with yeah.
it, have experiences with it, take a walk with it, hang out with friends listening to it. And by the time, like a few weeks later, it's just like, oh, this is like a part of my life now.
I feel
like
100%.
I feel like I'm living, like, I don't know, just there's something to that. It's just like, it's like getting a, It's like how you show your love to it. It's like the experiences you have with it. It's like looking at someone's like, I guess if we're doing like a baseball metaphor, this is going to go terribly. But like, you know, you see someone with like a glove, it's just like beat up mm-hmm. and just like, you can tell it's been used hella. It's just like, okay, this kid plays baseball. Like, you know, there's something to like wearing something out and just like, that to me, that's how you show your love for it and your, I don't know, just like your commitment to it. I don't know, but there's just something to that where it's just like, damn, I really love this thing. Like I've spent so much time with it. I know these words. I know, oh, I know this one moment's coming up. You're going to love this moment.
It's totally.
Like, that's really cool.
I had this CD that a friend made and then I'm just remembering this right now. And remember where you would know, like you would hear the song and you know what's coming next
right.
and, like, the of a mix CD just as uh-huh. if it was a track list of yeah. an album. I had this CD and I actually love this song. This is me doing the thing that you're coaching me to do. So I'll just say it. But I love
yes,
this song.
Yes, let's go.
And it's Semi-Charmed Life.
I don't know if I've heard that.
Yes, you definitely have. Third Eye Blind.
Oh, okay.
Do,
but wait.
Okay, so it was
that's a great melody.
It was on, I had this like 90s, we put all our favorite like 90s songs, mm-hmm. whatever. That song, it's a hit. It is yeah. a hit through I mean, and through.
That era of records is so good. Like, I know who I want.
I mean, that's like, so that's Katie Core. Like, that is my whole music with guitars. Okay. Like, that is yeah. my, like, hits hard.
Yeah.
But, and that's what I was trying to say. Like, I see the through line with me, like with what my taste is, because mm-hmm. I would listen to that 90s station and it was like, and now that I'm
gave you life.
Yeah. And it's like, I still kind of, it's, I love Pavement and the Lemonheads and also like Alex G and yeah. like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so just good. Like,
yeah.
I have the, but it's like all kind of the same, like that's what I'm kind of into. But anyway, this.
No, but that's good. Cause I feel like through that, even just you telling me that, I'm just like, damn, I now know what kind of music I could send to her. Like,
oh my God. I mean,
so.
And then also like you know, Courtney Love and Olivia yeah. Rodrigo, like there's,
sure.
a through
yeah,
line
there's a through
there
line, sure.
and Liz Phair. And like, there's just, yeah, there's a, definitely these sort of through lines that I'm starting to see now. And then it's also eclectic in other ways. But anyway, the
wait,
whole,
what's that one song? If it makes you happy. Who sings that? Do you know
why
that?
The hell am I so sad?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow. Yes. That's in that world too. Just like, yeah, I love those records. And listen, I wouldn't have access to those records any other way if not for MTV. And I love records like that, honestly.
Wow.
Because those are melodies that you just never forget.
Okay, that's so funny. That Sheryl Crow record, she her hair is in front of her face like this on the yeah. cover. That's one of the ones that my dad had left behind. And my mom was like, ugh. Like, because yeah. that's so not for my mom. Like, the stuff that I like was so, like, my music was just, she's like, no, not the sad music.
But isn't that cool, though, that, like, you know, before that, it was just like whatever mom was playing was all you was like, that was your go-to.
Yeah.
But then like discovering something that she didn't like, and then you just like go down that rabbit hole with thing like, oh, this is my shit. This
totally.
Is actually my shit.
And another really formative thing for me, which I could be sort of embarrassing, but like,
let's embarrass.
She would say the sad stuff, like, you know, the Pavements of the world and the, yeah. you know, Evan Dando, but then also like that, our era for me, that was Death Cab and like yeah, Sufjan and
for sure.
And I discovered most of that from TV shows, like the end of the OC, they would have these mix CDs and I would get one of those. That was probably maybe what I would say to answer Christine's question, but it was probably a Death Cab album or it was probably, it was probably a OC. Yeah. Yeah, it was probably a lot because I listened to a lot of our college radio station and then mm-hmm. I ended up like I worked there later. But,
oh, cool.
But that was lucky about our small town. We had this college radio station and I would find
man, college radio.
Stuff there. Whew. Yeah.
So essential. Man, I mean, I feel like, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer that guilty pleasure stuff is that's not real. It's like. You like what you like. There's no guilty pleasure. I don't feel guilty when I'm listening to something that
yes.
I really enjoy. There's no guilt.
Yes, about just anything.
Pleasure.
About food.
No
about
guilt,
yes,
just
100%.
Pleasure.
100%. Yeah. But the thing I was going to say about the Third Eye Blind thing is so we had it on this CD that it must have been scratched or broken or whatever, this track. So there was like a big like pause in the middle of the song. And we all just like knew it was coming.
Yeah,
and we were like, Okay. And then that CD got moved around so many times so that that version of the track was in everybody's iTunes.
That's so insane.
So I literally thought that that song had that in it.
Yeah.
And even now when I listen to that song, I know
you gotta brace yourself
exactly.
For the
it's so like
it's just like little things like that that just kind of make something more memorable and kind of make it yours. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like, it's like, again, it's like the little baseball glove analogy.
You know? Oh, totally. Like, I was like, that is your baseball analogy.
Yeah.
Okay. There are literally so many questions, so many things, but I have to go to the bathroom. We have so many, we got to get up, but I'm going to just ask you this one question from Tom. If you could have a musical guest sit in on Record Club, who would you invite and what album would you showcase of theirs?
Wow. Ooh, I love that question. Who would I have sit in?
I'm going to see if we got any more.
Tyler, actually. I think Tyler. And I say Tyler because I think he's like a version of like kind of the thinking that I'm thinking of, just like I can tell he has a great appreciation for like the deep dive and he's someone who I could tell would probably not be weird about receiving praise or receiving, like, he seems like someone who would embrace that or just like, I agree, this is tight.
Yeah.
Cause I think a lot of artists could not sit through 2 hours of someone just like telling a whole room how great their work is. And not to say that he's like super like, yeah, inflate my ego, it's all good. But I think he's someone who like isn't afraid of like, owning that he made something great or that he made something that people can enjoy. I think a lot of people run from their greatness and it's almost like they're scared to look at themselves in the mirror. It's like, you're great. It's okay. You can accept that. So I think someone like him would be someone who I think also Steve Lacy, I think too. I think the newer class of kids, musicians who are making great music, I think they seem like, at least as far as like their personalities or at least their character, they seem like an improvement on the idea as far as like, you know, the great artist. Mm. It's, they seem like kids who don't run from their greatness and who are like, I know I'm the shit. Because like back in, you know, there's so many stories of like self-sabotage and like, you know, people who had really great significant moments that are just like, were life-changing for a lot of us, who if you brought that album up to them when you see them, they'd be like, fuck that album. Like they, you know, they can't stand to see the side of themselves or what they once were, blah blah blah. So I really think it's cool that like these younger kids are like, they like their music a whole lot, and they embrace it and they don't run from it. So I definitely feel like one of the newer younger class of kids I'd want to like, and I mean, you know, Tyler's damn near my age at this point. No, not really. Well, he's a little close. So younger kids, but he's been making music for a while. But just like the kids who have come from the early aughts, you know, kids who were raised in that time and have come out of that, there's just something different in the water now. And listen, I also still think I'm a little afraid for the future, but I know that like these kids know who they are and they like who they are and they don't run from it. So I feel like if it was going to be someone I'd invite to come sit in on a session, it would definitely be someone from that era. Like, Tyler, Steve Lacy, Dijon, kids like that who I could tell probably would not be cringing at the idea of them receiving praise. I hope I answered that question.
You did. That was so good. And I have like 16 more questions for you, but I just feel like
we can do a little rapid fire. Like I can be quick. We can do maybe two more.
I think you just have to come back another time.
I love that.
But I mean, I'll leave you. Well, before I ask you the final question, I mean, one thing that just came to mind was like, how come often, sometimes, maybe not often, I don't know enough, people's first album or when they're young, music that's made when they're young is what's really resonant, is because those feelings are so big. And do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because your first album is like your life up until that point. And then your second album is like your life within the last year. You know what I'm saying? Like,
You got into that with Amy a little.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting because, like, you know, I think that's kind of when, like, the politics of the music business kind of get into the conversation, because, like, first album is just, like, it's compared to nothing. It's all new feelings, new experiences. Like, this is your debut to the world. Like, so it's all compared to nothing. And that feeling is so beautiful and fresh and, like, you know, it's fleeting, but it's, like, when it's there, it's, like, that's, like, the innocence of an artist. You know, it's, like, you at your most raw. You're never going to be that raw. You're never going to be that, you know, new and incomplete and, like, in discover, like, you're never going to be that again. And from there, it's just like, all right, we need another album in 2 years or 1 year. Yeah. And also, we need you to go on tour. And also, we need you to do a PR run. And also, we need you to do a bunch of radio. And also, and so by the time you get to your second album, you've become, like, this
product
and this figure. And then you're trying to maintain that and still trying to be, you know, in your body creatively and be, you know, who you think you are. But there's so much between you and, like, the thing that you just loved to do growing up as a kid. Now there's all these things in the way of it and all these, like, structures around it. So that changes the music, and it changes sometimes it changes the intention, because, you know, you're trying to, like, you want to make sure you recoup on your deal, all this other stuff that's involved. So I feel like it's hard to get to when a second album is as great as, like, or when the second album is, like, an achievement or a step up, it's like a miracle. And it's a wonder. And it's just like the great sophomore albums of our time are just kind of like such a, I don't know, such creative testimonies. Like, whoa, this, we can do stuff like this, like Voodoo from D'Angelo. That's the second album.
Oh, wow.
You know, Back to Black, Amy Winehouse, that's the second album. Like, there are these moments in, if an artist has the chance to do it, like D'Angelo had, where his label's like, all right, we don't know what's going on here,
and
we're kind of nervous, but we'll let you work for 4 or 5 years to make this. And Amy Winehouse completely went left of what the radio was doing at the time, and she was allowed the chance to do that. So I think when you have someone at your label or in your life or whatever, that's kind of giving you permission to, like, creatively seek out what you're trying to seek out and, like, allow you to discover and seek. You get these great second albums, but sometimes, you know, it's the artist comes out with this great first moment, big bang splash, and then it's all downhill from there, because then it becomes work from that point on. You're just fulfilling obligations from that point on. You signed, like, a 5-album deal, and you're just like, damn, I got to do 4 more of these.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that the only true enemy of the artist is, like, corporations and structures and, like, and unfortunately, you know, some of our favorites have, like, you know, everyone doesn't respond to that so great, you know, when you pour your heart into something and then the label's like, you don't really feel it. I mean, this happened with Continuum, with John Mayer. They were like, we're not really. So, and imagine if he was just like, all right, damn, I guess it's whack. All right, I'll put something else out.
Right.
So,
well, that's been the theme throughout this conversation, right? Like, knowing what, having, developing taste, having the clarity of what that is, allows you as the first step to even have a shot in going into the hard part, which is the confidence to speak up for it when in the face of people telling you that's not good, criticism, or not being financially lucrative. Like, you have to really love it, and you have really be and know what it is. You have to have clarity, and then you have to be able to commit and remain in it even when you sway. And I think that's, like, so transferable to life too.
Absolutely, because I really think that, like, building a trust within yourself and trusting your taste is, like, that's, like, the gateway to trusting your instincts. And then when you learn to trust your instincts, then it's just like, that's where the confidence comes from, of just like, okay, I've been in this place before, I made this decision, and this decision worked.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna trust my instincts again and see, oh, okay, I trust my instincts again, it worked. So, you know, you build the trust within yourself, So then you feel so much more confident in the choices that you're making that like, that's kind of like, I feel like that's where the confidence lies is like, you know, from just that little moment of just like having that moment with your body where you're like, this song, oh, this is my song. And not letting anyone tell you anything else about that. It's like, nah, this is great music. I don't care what you say. That, you know, that could lead you to like, so I feel like I'm not crazy. Like I should like trust in my instincts a bit more. And that's what could lead you to like, you know, being a great advocate for yourself, speaking up for yourself in moments when, you know, you feel like you're nervous too. It's just like, nah, I know what I'm talking about. I know who I am. I know where I stand here. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm going to advocate for myself. So I feel like it's, you know, it's a step to just kind of building yourself and allowing, you know, I feel like once you build yourself up, it's like, no one can tear that down. It's like, I know who I am and you can't stop that.
100%. And I was just going to say like, mm-hmm. that's so true with the instinct part, but the taste development and the knowing yourself part, what's required for that is time and space.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. That's how okay. I like how you tied that in.
That's well, great. And yeah. That's just something that, you know, taking outside of music and first album to second album or whatever, because mm-hmm. exactly what you said, there's a whole lifetime of time and space to make that one so great.
For sure.
And then you have a less time and space just mm-hmm. generally. And then like, that's kind of what I'm struggling with in my life right now. Cause like what you were saying about event curation and being a person who's like around and in the world and doing mm-hmm. things, like that's so important to yeah. it.
And it requires time.
Yeah, and exactly. And my life is so social and doing things and running from thing to thing. And that leads to so much. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like just sitting on my computer and like doing something, I feel like I actually get more done just by like being in the world and doing that. However, I need some time and space to kind of figure out what I'm going to be not interesting to anyone if I don't have time to make my own thing or do my own, right? Absolutely. Like we all need that, you know, seasonal.
Because just like you need and listen, I think personality types also have a weigh in on this a little bit, but like you have to, not have to, but I mean, I think most people, especially creative people, you have to be doing as much time with yourself. Not necessarily equal, but you got to be doing a good amount of time with yourself and a good amount of time with people. But like the time with yourself, that's where that random idea comes from that you wouldn't have like even thought about if you were out. You know, that's where that moment of just you're just like watching something. You're like, wait, that gives me an idea for this thing. You know, so in the stillness is where some of the greatest ideas come from, and sometimes they come in motion too. But in order to really kind of hear yourself a whole lot better, you sometimes got to be a bit more like, all right, I got to be stationary for a little bit. I'm going to just kind of like be a little lazy, kind of hang around a little bit, just waste some time and just allow myself to get enriched.
Yes.
And I think that's where I'm a big fan of like enrichment time and whatever people call it, downtime, lazy time, whatever. But moments where you kind of get to like just throw something on. Or, you know, go for a walk and just like let this playlist play and then just like let the thoughts just go because you're just walking aimlessly. You're just like, I know where I'm going. I know like where I'm at, but I'm not going any place specifically. I'm just walking a walk.
Yes.
The next thing you know, you're just here. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, like,
yep.
It's like you're integrating. You're opening yourself up.
Yep.
And like just like step by step, moment by moment, you're like opening yourself up to where like that mental clarity that you weren't having is suddenly just coming, it's rushing out because you kind of just found a way to like let yourself hear yourself. Like the ideas are probably already there.
Yeah.
You just like created a way to unlock it.
Yes.
And then it's just like, oh, okay. So I know how to access the creativity now. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. And once you find that, then you're like, okay, this is my muse for what I need.
Yeah.
When I'm in a funk or when I need to, I know that I can just sit still with myself, or I know I can put this music on, or I know I can meditate, or I know I can walk, or I know I can like cook.
Yeah.
And the ideas just start flowing out of me. We all have that thing. Cause if you're a creative person, you're a creative person.
Right.
There's no like, I'm creative sometimes. It's like you're creative all the time. It's there.
And I believe we all are.
You just have to find the ways to, And you just have to find the ways to channel it. You just gotta, you know, put the antennas up and like, you know, receive the information, because you know, it's coming through you, and whether you're accessing it or you're not accessing it, it's there for you. You just got to find the ways to like get the signal right so you can receive it and like pour it out.
Yeah. And find, like, what I'm trying to do is be discerning of time alone and time with others to be able to put the time in for that.
Mm-hmm. And there'll be times when, you know, you're just like diving deep and it's just like, I might not see anybody for a few days. But I got to lock in.
Which is what I need to make the time. Okay. We've been doing this for nearly three hours.
Wow.
Uh-huh. It's getting dark. I told someone I'd be there at 4.
What time is it?
5:16.
Jesus Christ.
So we have to, we end by taking a deep breath. So, and I'll, then I'll play you the song. And do you want to do a last guess?
Last guess? I will say Me and Mr. Jones.
Okay. That's your last guess. Okay. Okay, so the show is called Let It Out. So we end by letting out a deep breath. You ready?
Okay.
Inhale. Let it out. Feels good.
That was great.
Amy will play us out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What a song.
You did not guess this one, did
you? No. I don't know why I didn't guess that. What a record.
Is there anything else that you want to add or say? I love the visuals on this.
What else do I want to say? I definitely want to say, if you made it all the way through this, you're incredible. And also, wow, this is so cool. I mean, I feel like, I really enjoyed this conversation. And I don't know, I feel like I don't get to even speak about my process very often, or if ever. I mean, I did with LA Times at one time, but it's really, I don't know, it feels really fun to like have people kind of curious about how I make stuff. I never thought that people would take any interest in that. So it really feels nice to, I don't know, to be able to talk about it. So
it's such an honor to have a space for you to do that and to have gotten to, especially like, I always say this, I usually say the second hour we get a little, or about a half an hour in, I always say that's when we get a little loose, we forget we're recording. But in our case, I think that happened about 2 hours in, or 2.5 hours in. It's such a long one. I might split this into two.
Yeah, you could probably split it up. I mean, but also I'm sure through the editing process, you'll probably find some clutter. You're like, I don't need this.
No, we're putting it all out. This was incredible. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm so happy to know you. And, you know, what's interesting is like, I'm somewhat new to Record Club in your world, and now we realize we have so many mutual friends and mutual tastes. But the second I walked in, you made me feel so welcome and part of the group. And I, as you were saying, like how you do that, I was like, oh, he got me. Like he did that to me. Like I that's why I'm here right now. Cause it was, you know, I was just honestly, I was like, oh, okay, this is the thing I signed up for because my friend like asked me to go to this. It did sound cool and I wanted to go to it, but I was like, wow, that sounds cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. But I was just like, all right, whatever the next one is, like, I want to come.
Yeah.
And then didn't even like think about it. But then when the day came, it was just like, oh man, okay, gotta like go across town and find parking and whatever.
Yeah.
And it could have gone either way. Like I wasn't like so stoked. I was like, that's a cool idea for sure. And my friend's going to
be there. Do I
want to go
all the way there for this?
But I was like, I had kind of no idea what to expect. I didn't know. I wouldn't have gone back if I didn't love it. And the second I walked in, I was like, as I told you, from the moment I walked in and the first person and you and the leaving and then just like, I was like, oh, I'm in. Like, whatever you could tell me, we're listening to, you know, something I actively don't like. And I'd be like, I'm 100% there. Like, where do I buy a ticket? So anyway, everyone follow everything that Free does. And thank you so much for being
here.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you for listening. Okay, that was my conversation with Free, all of it. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you did the deep breath because we didn't do it last week because, you know, it ended in the middle last week. But when I was listening back to this editing, I did it and I was like, let it out. Wow, that actually felt nice. So I hope people do it when they're listening along. And thank you for listening at all. I said this last week and I'll say it again. If you aren't already following Free and the Record Club, please do, and please come and get yourself a copy of the zine and the next zine and sign up for their newsletter. All the links are in the show notes. And if you have any questions about anything, let me know. You know where to find me too. It's just my name on Instagram, or Let It Out with 3 T's. They're both me. And I have a couple spots left in the creative clinic. So if the conversation about creativity that we had, it all sparked anything in you, let me know. I'd love to talk more about that. And the talk project that I have been working on for a while is coming really, really soon. And I'm really excited about it. I got to work on it a lot while I'm in Mexico. I'm recording this before I go to Mexico, but I just said that because I want it to be true, okay? Oh, goodness. All right. Well, I'm going to go pack for a trip that will have occurred a week before you are listening to this. Thank you so much for listening to this. If you liked it, share it with a friend. That helps so much. And I am so grateful that I get to do this. And like I said in it, the access that this podcast gives me to meet people like Free and get an hour or three of their time and learn about them and connect with them. It's all because of you. It's all because you're listening to this and getting to meet you listening. And it's not lost on me. So thank you so much for being here. And thank you to our editor, Brianna Bain. And I'm grateful. Okay, bye-bye.